Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special Friday edition of the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. Friday, July 30th, 2021. It is live. We're coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to join us, please do, because there's a lot going on in the world of baseball, in the world of sports, and we're going to pay close attention to baseball. So if you want to join us for the next 60 minutes live on Blog Talk Radio, please feel free. Area code 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. Obviously, trade deadline has come and gone. There's going to be fallouts, and we'll keep this up to date as possible as we get the returns in. Feel like it's we're voting for Election Day, waiting for the ballots, counting the ballots, and see where these pieces are. Lots of moving pieces, Joe, but let's programming note. Social media had Jarvis Green joining us today to talk a little bit about what it's like in training camp and what it's like in his business, as he's doing a lot of stuff off the gridiron. He needed to reschedule because he is a busy man, so Jarvis Green will join us at a later date. So on behalf of him, we apologize for that, but be that as it may, not a little bit, but a lot to say about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Let's welcome in my co-host each and every Wednesday, and in this case, Friday, the one and only Joe Foran. Joe, you're chopping at the bit, I know. I hear the huffing and the puffing over the phone. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing good, but it's like you're just aggravated because I'm like, lack of deals on the Red Sox part is killing me here.
Okay, go ahead. Sound off, buddy. Because right now, it's only been one move, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But tell me what you thought coming into this trade deadline, what they needed, and what they addressed, and what they did not address. Go ahead.
Okay, so what they needed is they needed a left-handed bat, preferably a first baseman. They needed some defensive help. Wherever the outfield, infield, wherever they just needed it, and they needed another arm in the starting rotation. Oh wait, and they got none of the above. So check mark that. Nothing. They got a left-handed bat, Kyle Schwarber, a good bat, but all he is a ex-catcher, outfielder with good pop, but not exactly the defensive skills that they were looking for. Who they may want to turn into a first baseman. So just an aggravating trade deadline. Granted, the price was high out there, and other teams have better farm systems, had better pieces to give up, but frustrating to see nothing getting done. Granted, the waiver wire deals can get done until the end of till the beginning of September, but you see all these moving pieces, all these pieces moved, and nothing coming our way. It's frustrating.
Yeah, no question about that. It is frustration, no question. Obviously, the teams in first place exceeded expectations, and with those expectations now, you have to kind of regroup and renew the expectations are. Quite frankly, this team has expectations to not only make the playoffs, but to win the division, and a serious contender, based on what they've done thus far, to make it to the World Series and represent the American League. So a team that wasn't expected to do much by many, and I'm generalizing here, going into the year, now after the break, is expected to compete for an American League pennant. Now that's just the day and age of this. So you got to wipe out the expectations from the beginning of the year, because everything has to be reset, and it has. I like the Schwarber deal. Let's go over that. They acquire Kyle Schwarber from Washington for right-handed pitcher Aldo Ramirez. And Ramirez is the Sox number 19 prospect. So Ramirez is 1-1 with a 2.02 ERA in single-A Salem. Okay, so it wasn't a lot of asking price for him. I get it. Brandon Workman has been designated for assignment to make room for Schwarber. Schwarber's season thus far at bats, 265 at bats, 67 hits, 25 homers, 53 ribbies. He's hitting .253 with an OBP of .340 and an OPS of .910. And he, before you know, went on the DL July 2nd with a right hamstring injury. But before that, Joe, he was arguably the hottest power hitter because he was just, it seemed like every game he was hitting homers from the leadoff spot, Mr. Schwarber. So my question to you is, where does he fit in with the team? Do they play him at first base? Because I think it's more reflection with Schwarber, the pop they need out at the leadoff, because they can move Kiki down to the bottom of the order to help the bottom three. And I just don't think they're sold on the outfield defensively. I think Jared Duran is what he is. We don't know who he is yet. Not hitting as of late. He's betting in the mid-100s to low-100s, 12 Ks and like 30 at-bats, right? So we don't know what Jared Duran is. Renfro's kind of slumped. He's got the arm, but is he a full-time player? Has he petered out? You know what I mean? So Schwarber's going to fill a need probably in the outfield. And what that means is they still have not solidified anything at first base and certainly not pitcher, and that's where they needed to go. I like what Schwarber brings to the table. He has postseason success with the Cubs back in 2016. He was really good for them during that run to exercise those World Series demons. But there's still a glaring need, and Mr. Heinblum is now going to see. He's been, you know, people looked at him as what they brought in at the start, the D. Renfro's, who he plugged into the lineup, and it's paid dividends. And he's been reaping the benefits of many a pat on the back from fans, but now it's different. Now, if it stands pat and we don't see anything trickle in, he's got a lot to answer. And now, welcome to Boston, Mr. Heinblum.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm gonna bring you back to the old days of Red Sox Nation of this 80s, 70s. This deal reminds me of Dave Kingman, a.k.a. Rob Deere deals, where they were sluggers, supposed to be good, came in, did kind of nothing, and if this is the only piece we got, you heard it here first. I predict a fourth-place finish in the AL East for the Red Sox. I go all the way down to fourth place because I see this bullpen getting overtaxed, overused, and not holding up over the long haul. It's going to catch up to him with a lack of starters. It's going to catch up to him. Just my opinion.
Okay, now let me ask you. I got you. So what happens if a healthy Chris Sale comes at the end of middle August, say the late August for the stretch run? You still feel the same way, fourth place finish?
All right, so Mr. Chris Sale reminds me of a.k.a. John Lester when he came back from his – from his cancer. You're on a pitch count. You basically, doesn't matter how good you're doing in the game, you're on a pitch count, you're going to pull them middle innings, and it's like it's going to tax the bullpen even more. And even though he could pitch 5 innings of great ball, you still got 4 innings to the end of the game. I just get a bad feeling about this.
So is it based on, well, I think what you're saying is overwork, but if you talk about a team right now, and I'm going to look at the standing as we speak, if you're talking about a team with a fourth-place finish, they're in first now, okay? We all know that. They're ahead of the race, the Jays and the Yankees. I think that's the order they're in. But if you're looking at Boston right now, who is literally 9.5 games away from being a – 9.5 games ahead of the next fourth-place team – that's a lot to drop, Joe. That would be a total collapse, maybe bigger than 1978, maybe bigger than the 2011 season under Terry Francona when they collapsed mightily in the month of September. I can't see him falling that far unless this team somehow, to a man, says, you know what? We didn't go out and get enough in the deadline. We don't have faith that we can win and then totally tank. Under a manager who gets the best out of the players. I think you're overreacting a little bit. You want to rethink that?
There's 7 games in the loss column, John. Maybe 9.5 games in fourth place. There's 48 losses for Toronto as we speak, 41 for Boston. 51 mm-hmm. wins for Toronto and 63. So they're 12 games back, 12 less wins, 7 less losses. They will be fighting for fourth place because the Yankees have 48 losses also. And look, they've been holding on. I get it. I love it. I like Sale coming back. I just, hopefully, it's a gut feeling. just call it a gut feeling. It's like I could be wrong. I'm wrong on a lot of things. It's just a gut feeling, John. It's like I see this. I'm looking at the standings as we look, and it's just all a gut feeling. It's like I'm hope to God I'm wrong, and I'm definitely wrong about this. But we cannot. Garrett Richards, Martin Perez have proven in the first half up until now can't be guaranteed to go more than three starts in a row of decent starts. So that's just like I said, just my opinion. And I know we're going to agree to disagree on this one.
Oh, of course you will. That's the beauty of it. And this is the BlogTalkRadio.com live podcast of the Hump Day Show with Chipped and Joe. Special Friday edition for you. So we were kind of geeked. I was getting up, and quite frankly, I was pacing right before the show because I don't know what the Red Sox are doing and what they're going to do. And I'm really anxious after the show is over to find out some of the fallout and some of the backlash that they're going to be facing. Most of it, the majority, overwhelmingly, probably justified. Joe Foran, Johnny Sunchips here for you. If you want to join us, please do. 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702. Just coming, let's go with some of the latest before we get into the AL East and what teams have done to shore up their pennant drives, if you will. The Giants acquired third base and outfielder Chris Bryant from the Cubs. So the big four in Chicago is no longer. Bryant is dealt to San Fran, okay? Javi Baez goes to, let's just run them down. The Cardinals acquire left-handed pitcher, old friend John Lester from the Washington Nationals.
Yep.
Padres acquire outfielder Jake Marisnick from the Cubs, so the Cubs complete in fire sale mode. Freddie Galvis goes from Baltimore to the Phillies. The Brewers acquire right-handed pitcher John Curtis from the Marlins for catcher Peyton Henry, reported. Here's the Yankees, and we'll get into that right after this. The Yankees acquire left-handed pitcher Andrew Heaney from the Angels for right-handed pitcher Jason Junk and right-handed pitcher Elvis Pagero source. Now, here's the Yankees, okay? Not sitting down. Obviously seemingly playing for a wild card, but you'll argue now that the Yankees, the Rays, and the Blue Jays are all playing for the division title. Seeing as how the Red Sox finishing fourth. What the Yankees did offensively, I'm okay with, but Joey Gallo, home run, strikeout, left-handed bat, I got it, they needed it. Rizzo, the same thing, left-handed bat, I got it, they needed it. Rizzo, not playing as well, couple of good, you know, kind of on the downside of a bell curve, if you will, for the past year and a half. Where's he fit in? Does he get that mistake? But Joey Gallo is basically not an upgrade to a team that says the home runs and strikes out, and he's going to get them for you. He's a left-handed bat. But you pitch away from him, I'll tell you, I'm not as sold on the Yankees offensively as what they did with Andrew Haney and so forth, according to pitching. But where do you see the Yankees team? Because I liked the young kids coming up because they all of a sudden had speed. They had aggression. They had base running. They had quickness. And they had defense.
The kids are better because they got a job to play for. And it's like you get some spunk and he's like youth in the lineup, and it was better. And I get you. I hear Gallo is the same deal. It's like he's just a left-handed version of Judge, home run or nothing. He's a left-handed version of Sanchez. Like I said, it's like I could be wrong because it's like the Yankees, there's no guarantee. Just because you acquire all these people doesn't guarantee you nothing. Definitely doesn't guarantee you anything. But I guess with Kluber and Severino still on the injured list, you know, they get a hold of the Heaney, and it's like he hasn't lit the world on fire, and let's see what he can do in Yankee Stadium, especially a left-hander. It's like, you know, and we'll see. It's like, you know, I like the idea of getting what they've got. Is no guarantee for anything. It's like we've seen that. It's just that I'm hoping that I'm wrong on just, you know, of us. But I see the Yankees fighting for third place. I don't see them. I see the Jays and Tampa Bay fighting for the division.
And we have a good friend, Kim, who lives up in Toronto, who's part of our organization here. I think her name's Ramrake. I can't pronunciation. Kim, if you're listening and you forget, I apologize. Big Toronto fan. Obviously, she lives up there. And you talk about a team that addressed needs. It was pitching, pitching, pitching. They got a nice starter in Berrios in Minnesota, and they added John Hinn to a bullpen that they sorely need, because if they get halfway decent pitching from their bullpen, they could easily overtake teams, because that lineup, as we saw last night, can just light it up at the drop of a gun. They are all world 1-9. Talk about balanced attack hitters. They just can bludgeon you to death. So they got better. The Rays got better with Nelson Cruz. The Yankees got better, adjust some needs. And then we come back to the Red Sox. And here's what I'm talking about with this Red Sox team. How does that permeate in the dugout, number one? And where did the Red Sox hit it? This is an organization. Did they believe that they can really, and I know they'll say it, and Behind Bloom says the right thing, but did they really believe they are a World Series contender based on the lack of production, lack of activity, I mean? I got to wonder that, and there's going to be questions for them, Joe. I mean, Behind Bloom, do you really think that this team is World Series contending? If you did, why didn't you make any more moves? Maybe he doesn't, deep down in his heart of hearts. And maybe there's, and I'll give them a pass on one thing, that they just don't have the assets in the farm system to go out and give up for guys like Scherzer, for players like that. I mean, even the Yankees gave up top prospects. They're just not there yet as a farm system. And if you're up an opposing team and San Diego calls you with that farm system and the Yanks call you with that farm system and the Dodgers call you with all their resources and then the Red Sox are finishing fourth. They're the fourth team picked up on that line. So they're never going to get the first crack at it. So I'll give them a pass on that. But it leads one to wonder what this team thinks of their own team heading into, you know, to what seems to be a pennant contending, at least in American League year, but maybe not so in their heart of hearts. Your thoughts on that and what they think of as an organization to what they have on the field.
One of the things happened is Hein Bloom came in to build up this farm system. He has built it up. Not built it up the way he wants it, but he's built it up, and he doesn't feel like giving away the pieces to step back. You trade the pieces to get better players or get players with a stretch run, but like you said, we're not there yet in deep depth as far as the farm system go yet. I give it another year or two, and we could have the depth. And like I said, I could be wrong. I definitely could be wrong, and it's like we could hold off and do well. And right now, it's like, you know, Jared could end up being better than what he started out as. Hey, just because he started out bad doesn't mean that's what he is. It's like, so, these teams, like especially Toronto, they gave up good prospects. So it's Toronto's got a lot to answer if they don't do anything this year. If they don't finish at least in the playoffs, that's a lot to give up for players to come over for. And so it's like you gave up your number two and number four prospect, which are in the top 100 major league pipeline, and they gave up two excellent ones. So right now the sellers, it was a seller's market out there because teams got top dollar for whatever they were giving up. And granted, I mean, I know it's a house cleaning, and Nationals had a house cleaning, Cubs had a house cleaning, but they seemed to get a lot back and a lot of good prospects back for what they were giving up.
Okay, we got ground sources working the phones for us here, and I'm going to read it to you as I get the text, Joe. Obviously, lesson to the Cards being reported. And this also says Jorge Soler goes from Kansas City to the Braves. They ain't giving up. They ain't packing it in. And don't give up on your Sox yet, because according to my source here, Hansel Robles is going to the Sox.
The right-handed pitcher, Hansel Robles, from the Twins to the Sox.
Okay. What do you think? I'm looking him up as we speak.
I would have to look up his stats. So it's like, let's see. So, I mean, hey, look, it's a right-handed pitcher. I'll give him that much. It's a pitcher.
Yep.
So it's like, I'll give him that much. It's like, no problem. It's like, you know, like I said, it's like, Bloom may have a plan in mind. And it's like, so that plan in mind, he is hurt right now, though. Tuesday games, Disney's light. He was Disney and
looking at it right now. He led the Twins, say what you will, in saves of 10. Holes with 14.
Yep. Innings pitched, 44 innings pitched,
45 games this thus far. His 10 saves, 14 holds, you said, right? 3 wins, 4 losses, 44 innings pitched, 37 hits, 24 earned runs. He's a 1.39 whip with a 4.91 ERA. So you're looking at depth. Maybe a guy, and I like a guy who can get holes. I think that adds to the bullpen. I got it. How it plays out, we'll see. Kenta Maeda was another guy in their radar, as the same source told me as well. So that's kind of where it's at. So Red Sox, look, they made a minor move. So say what you want about that. I think it's a fight, and I think we all saw the Scherzers and all saw the Rizzos and all saw the Chris Bryants and said, wow, wouldn't it be good to get Mad Max? And he was on the list, and where is he going? But deep down inside, and hindsight being 2020, I never thought they were going to get Max Scherzer because of the asking price and because of the teams ahead of him and San Diego and Los Angeles. And, oh, by the way, he came out to say, I'd really prefer to stay in the National League. So those pipe dreams were just pipe dreams. So they're kind of band-aiding you with a bunch of Punch and Judy, blue-collar, you know, that's kind of what they are as a team, and they add players that kind of represent what they are as a team. So as far as their MO and what they represent and their moniker when they approach every game, all hands on deck, a bunch of dirt dogs, if you will, that's kind of how I sum up what they've acquired before this trade deadline today, Joe.
They still got to play the game. No matter who got traded, who got acquired, you still have to play the game. There's still a lot of baseball to be left. There's still a lot of baseball to be played. So, we're fine. We're fine for now. It's like, let's see where we go from here. Just a side note on the guy we acquired. He was pulled from Tuesday's game due to dizziness. And before that, he'd given up 4 runs. And he was removed from the game because of dizziness on the field. So what that means, don't know, but that was what I'm reading here is like he was removed from the game on Tuesday. So, I mean, kudos to the Giants for picking up a bat, a key bat, a key offensive. And I can't believe there was a house cleaning galore for the Nationals, because is there anybody left on that team right now?
I know you talked about a team. Go ahead.
I like what the Phillies did. They got themselves a right-handed pitcher. They got themselves two of them, Ian Kennedy, Kyle Gibson. I mean, granted, they're not the top of the line, but the Phillies haven't given up. They picked up Freddie Galvis to show up the infield. So a lot of teams feel they're still in it, and that's the reason behind the one game that you hate is the playing game, if you want to call it. But a lot of teams feel they're still in it. That's why you've seen a lot of moves from teams that you normally wouldn't have. The Braves definitely haven't given up because they picked up Adam Duvall. And they picked up, you know, a couple other players. So it's like they're definitely not giving up on it. And it's just this is a busier last day on the trade deadline than I've seen in a long time.
Right. And when you look at, obviously, the American League East is what it is. Sox, Tampa, New York, Toronto are still on the mix, division wild card. You look at the White Sox. They're going to breeze to the division unless they totally collapse. But they added because they're looking past winning the division, in which they should as a contender in that division. I get you. Houston added pitching depth big time. Did what they had to do, shored it up. So it was perfect what they did. They're probably going to win the division. You're looking at the A's. Wild card, maybe they sneak in and win the division. The Mariners playing out the string, a good young team, and the Angels 51-51, 11.5 out. So you're looking at that team. I'm looking at the teams that are in it that all made moves. The Mets, the Phillies, the Braves, all in it. The Braves are only 4 out. But in that division, that's still wide open because the Mets are what they are. They still need to hit the ball. They're 29th in the league in runs scored. Great pitching staff, but they still need to hit. So acquiring Baez, who strikes out a lot as well, does not guarantee them any hits. So if you're the Phillies, you go out and add. The Braves go out and add because you're still in contention to win that division. I love what the Braves did. They don't sleep on anything. So that's a real good thing there. The Brewers, the Reds, the Cardinals. The Cardinals made some really good moves because they're still in the wild card mix. And you know out west, with the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres, that's must-see TV again. That's a fight to the finish, and that's going to be, wow, who's going to land the last haymaker in the NL West? Because those teams in the West do not want to play any one-game playoff. So Dodgers is a severe upgrade. The Giants, I hope they hang on. But if you're putting a gun to my head, like you said, I think the Giants are going to stay out of that one-game playoff and win that division. But, you know, coming back to the Red Sox, I mean, you know, what did it tell you? How is the team going to come out? We're going to see first and foremost, Joe, because the Rays, they're down on the trot now. How is this team going to come out, fire? What's going to be said? What's Cora going to say? You know what I mean? I'm real interested to see where it goes. Do they keep playing? I mean, they're going to hit slumps, obviously. I don't know. Well, obviously, you're on record as saying they're going to fall that far. But it is official, Hanzo Robles from the Twins, per source. But the Giants, for Chris Bryant, they gave up Alexander Canario and a right outfielder and a right-handed pitcher, Caleb Killian, all per sources. But we'll see how it shakes out. But winners and losers everywhere. But teams are playing, Joe, and it seems like they are. And I'll let you get a word, and I apologize. Because we're not sure with the collective bargaining agreement, there may not be a season next year. So teams are playing as if this could be the last year in a couple of years they're going to win a World Series. Because we don't know if there's going to be in 2022.
No, my question, like, you know, the Dodgers made some great moves, you know, picking up Duffy from KC, picking up the starting pitcher, but where does Trey Turner fit in? Because now you have a bunch, and, like, somebody's going to sit down on that team. Not everybody can play at the same time. So does that actually help them or hurt them? And it's like, that's the only knock on that. It's like the pitching definitely will help Yerza, and Duffy will help. But Trey Turner, will he mesh in? Because you know how baseball plays off. Some of them won't want to sit. Some of them won't want to, like, some of them don't look at for the good of the team mentality at times. So, you know, how is that going to fit in? How is it going to mesh? There's no guarantee. I love getting Chris Bryant to the Giants because that definitely from out. The Braves, they couldn't have gotten any worse. And so it's like, no, they get Soler, who has maybe a change of scenery will help him because he just hasn't had the year they expected him. And your buddy Rex Hudler would say that. It's like, you know, Soler has not had the season that they were expecting of the man at the beginning of the year. They were expecting him to rebound and rebound strongly. And he really hasn't. So Braves are hoping for a second wind out of him. And I see all these trades and I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of teams out there that feel they're going for it all. And next year, like we've heard, there may not be a season or maybe a stoppage. Not good for the game, but that means teams are going for everything now. I mean, look what the A's did. The A's picked up Ian Gomes, Josh Harrison. They picked up some depth. It's like I'm looking at all these trades down the line. I'm like, you know, Craig Kimbrell going from one side of Chicago to the other side of Chicago. Team him up with Hendrick. That's one feisty bullpen. That's a good bullpen. That's a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
They don't want to mess with over there. And something they needed.
Right. Yeah, everyone got better. Everyone got considerably better because of not one, two, maybe three deals. Giants also acquired left-handed pitcher Tony Watson from the Angels. So you're right. So things are moving and shaking, but teams are really positioning themselves for runs. We're going to see tonight in about 7:05, even before then, when we get off the air here in about 30 minutes on our Hump Day show with Chips and Joe special Friday edition on blogtalkradio.com. And once again, please join us because we're talking nothing but baseball. Give us your team. Give us if you're a Red Sox fan, if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a Ray fan, if you're any other fan in the National League. The White Sox don't get a lot of love because they're breathing to that division. Coming from me as well. If you're a fan of the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, give us a jingle, man. 516-387-1702. 516-387-1702. We're live at about 4:30 Eastern time on July 30th of the year 2021. But let's see.
I can't believe they designated Workman. So it's like that looks like that's the end of his second stint in Boston. It's like, you know, I guess Tanner Houck was just moved to AAA just to make room for everything that was going to go on today. So,
yep.
I guess they recalled Connor Wong from AAA. So I guess they need another another catcher. We may see. No, never mind. He threw Samoa pitch Wednesday, so we may not see him Saturday. So it's like we may not see him down there. Hopefully,
right.
Arroyo comes quickly for us. So it's like it would be great. You know, we got some guys coming back.
Right. When you think about it, though, Joe, if you're looking up and down the Red Sox lineup, you know, it's well-balanced. You've had these players step up, the Hunter Renfros, the Bronson Arroyos, not Bronson Arroyos, the Christian Arroyos. You know, these players who are not, you know, haven't really had long-term success. And by long-term, I mean consistency in the league, number one, injuries. But they've been spotty here and there. So you're expecting these players to all of a sudden carry your team for the season, which they can do. But usually the cream rises to the top. And that's my concern for this Red Sox team is, have we seen the best of some of these players, you know, going down the stretch? And now we're banking on other players or the core, like your Devers, your Bogarts, your Martinez's, to carry the team down the stretch. You know what I mean? So we really don't know the full identity of this Red Sox team. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You definitely don't know the full identity. And you don't know – and you won't know for a couple of years what these teams actually gave up in prospects to get where they wanted to get into the playoffs. So you never know. It's like, you know, it's like, so was it worth it? Look, we didn't have the pieces to give up. So I get it. It's like, so you can't, it's not all on Heinz Bloom, because if you don't have the pieces to give up, AKA the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres had pieces to give. We didn't.
Right. Agree. He's Joe Foran, Johnny Sendchips here. And we're talking some baseball. We're going to talk a little football after, too, because, you know, Foxborough here and the training camps opened up and all is hunky-dory in Green Bay. But continue with your baseball talk if you'd like. Once again, you can join us at 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702. I want to get your take on a guy with a lot of pop, and he was ripping it up in Worcester. And we talked about it here on the show. You know, his splits in Worcester were what they were. In Worcester, where it can be like a wind tunnel at times, if you will. We've been up to the park. We've seen it. No surprise, Kenny, that the winds can be swaying and the winds can change direction at the drop of a hat in Worcester, where the Worcester Red Sox play their games. Jaron Duran splits. And I'll just go home runs. Two-thirds of his home runs are hit on the road. Jaron Duran, what do you think of him now? Short sample size. He got a lot of pub. Your take on what he is? Is he more than meets the eye? Because, you know, a very, very celebrated inauguration into the league, into the major leagues. But he hasn't looked too good as of late, and as maybe as well he should. But what's your take on Duran? You think he's a long-term player? Again, albeit a short sample size, Joe?
I think he's a long-term player. I just think that teams have got the book on him, and they're pitching him away, and they're not pitching him anything inside. They're giving him heat up and away, and he's chasing it. And anything inside and low, he loves. That seems to be his powerhouse, his wheelhouse, and teams are just staying away from it. I mean, granted, that home run he hit against Toronto was opposite field, and he poked it that way.
In a minor league stadium.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. But you can't base it on a short sample size because it's like, oh, wait, let me bring back the name of Ted Cox. He started out with a house of fire and fizzled out. I'm not going to go by what the first month is. I think he's got speed. He can give us some defense. He can help us that way. But I bring up a name here that you'd be familiar with. I give him a upgrade of a Rick Miller type. He's better offense, better, but he's not the superstar that you're looking for. He's a great piece to have on a team, but he's not a superstar. So I think he'll be a bona fide major league ball player, just not the superstar that people are always hoping him to be.
You could be right. You could be right. But, yeah, but see, so maybe we don't know, and maybe it's going to be – and here's where the pitching comes in, because we talked about it on our Wednesday show. You look at Pavetis. You look at Garrett Richards. You look at Erod. You look at Nathan Eovaldi, right? You look at who am I missing? I can't even think how I have to look at the roster. So frazzled. Huh?
Richards, Perez.
Richards, Pavetta, yep. Eddie Rodriguez, Eovaldi. Those guys aren't top of the line rotation. I mean, if you're banking on Rourke, Taylor Houck, and Chris Sale, that's a really slippery slope. And they'll never say it, but maybe they are, because we know as well as we'll do. We're going to be in Worcester tomorrow watching Chris Sale. If he wakes up Sunday morning or comes out of that game with any kind of stiffness, he is shut down. That's the fine line he walks. And without him, that makes it even more bleak. And then I'll buy into more of your projected fourth place finish when the season's over. Houck is what he is. I mean, looks good. But, you know, after he sees teams two or three times down the road, did they get a book in him? I like his aggressiveness. He works fast. I love that. But, again, I hope they're not banking on these guys. And if they are, it's shame on them, because it could rear its ugly head.
And here's the thing is, you'll never know right now until a couple of years down the line if this was a good thing that Hein Bloom did or a bad thing, because you never know what these prospects are going to become, good or bad, and you won't know for a couple of years. So you can think what you want that they didn't make the moves. Until we find out what these guys are for us, then it's like, did you want to sell the farm again, aka last GM, to get a World Series championship when there's no guarantee? Because I think we need too many pieces in the rotation to become a World Series, bona fide World Series contender. I'm not saying we're not a contender. I just don't think we're bona fide. We don't have enough strength in the rotation right now. It's a glaring weakness that the game is. They're a bunch of trot Nixons to me as far as pitches go. They keep on trying. They're plugging away. And right now, the biggest thing that Red Sox fans should look at is the 32 wins coming from behind. You only can do that for so long. That only the pumpkin's going to show up sooner or later. Unfortunately, it's going to.
Yeah.
But when does it strike midnight? I hope it doesn't strike midnight until, like, after the season and we get the win in. But I just don't think so.
You could be right. I'm not as big a sky is falling as you, but you have every right to feel that way, and I get that. Because it could. And we're going to see right throughout. And now you talk about a fan base that's pretty much enjoyed an overachieving team. Now, this fan base is going to be like, okay, you know what, eggshells? Because now as a Red Sox fan, you're going to depend on two things. You have to have these things to happen, in my opinion, right now, if you're the Red Sox, right, to get to a World Series. You need Chris Sale to come back as close to his form in 2018 as possible, number one. And you need Tanner Houck to burst onto the scene and just rip apart teams that he faces because he hasn't seen the teams a lot. You need those two things to happen, in my opinion, right now, in order for the Red Sox to get to a World Series. You agree or disagree?
I agree. A lot of things have to happen for them to get there. And it's just too many pieces have to fall into place for them to get there. Right now, we've been blessed. This pitching staff, for the most part, has been healthy. Now take a couple of injuries, a couple of dings, and where do we go from there?
True. Jill Ferrand, Johnny Sunchips, just about 20 minutes left in our show today, a Friday edition of the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe, blogtalkradio.com. You reach us at Twitter. I'm at JP_Ahern. Joe is at Ferrand Joe on Twitter as well. We are the Unsung Sports Grid. and Hump Day Show with Trip and Joe on Twitter as well if you want to get directly to us. I had a little take as I was thinking about this, and I shared it with you, on one Chaim Bloom, because he's been obviously coming here from Tampa. And Tampa's a team, and I ad nauseum talked about how they just get right in the brink of being a contender and not being able to get over the hump, to the point where I was convinced, Joe, that they just didn't want to win a World Series for whatever reason, because it told me a lot last year about the Blake Snell incident when he's mowing the Dodgers down in pre-innings in Game 6 of a World Series to get to a Game 7 against a really, really solid Dodger team. That told me all I needed to know about them, just not wanting to get there for whatever reason, to be not lovable losers, but the farm team of Major League Baseball, because if the Tampa Bay Rays win a World Series, to me, they no longer are a small market team. They're playing with the big boys because they were top dog. They got the trophy, right? Say what you want about fan base, whatnot. 2 years removed from a team, and we don't know how much Chaim Bloom had a part singularly or if it was a team effort in Tampa. There's bits and pieces of both, that it was a collaborative effort in Tampa to go and bolster their farm system and to produce what they do with the Rays, okay? 2 years removed and wipe away last year, okay, because it was a COVID year. He made some deals. So literally 1 year removed away from the Rays, the Rays go out and add to their lineup in Nelson Cruz, okay? They added to a lineup a piece that can get them over the hump to a World Series, all right? They hadn't done that in the past with a big name. Chaim Bloom goes from there, comes to Boston, and they don't do a lot at the trade deadline, stay status quo, and put a couple of Band-Aids, as we know of now. It could turn out big to a team that is in first place. What does that tell you? Because if he leaves Tampa and they all of a sudden go for it, and Bloom comes to Boston and they don't go for it, you see where I'm going with this?
Oh, I'm definitely seeing where you're going. Was it the Tampa organization standpoint, or was it Chaim Bloom's standpoint of
right,
standing still? Good point, because it's like it makes you wonder, because all of a sudden we get two guys, one who's injured, but he's the hottest hitter before he got injured, and just a pitcher, fill-in, whatever you want to call him, a reliever, which just adds to the bullpen without getting a bona fide starter of any type. It does make you wonder, who was at the wheel and who was in control in Tampa and who is in control
right
in Boston?
Yeah, because the team right now – yeah, I agree with you. And I'm going to mark that down on the tape. You're marked down today for saying the Red Sox will plummet to fourth. I get that. But mark down the tape that I heard no one else talk about this. I could be wrong. But I'm a top radio junkie. But I question whether Chaim Bloom had maybe more to do with Tampa and more of a collaborative effort with the Tampa Bay Rays based on Nelson Cruz going there just a year and a half after he's gone, coming here to Boston and trying to turn Boston into maybe a small market team, which you can't do. You can't be the Red Sox and be on the verge of doing something and go into a 6-game of a World Series and falling short and having it be like, oh, it's a great year, and just reload. You can't do that. He can't do that with the Boston Red Sox. So this just in. Okay. Michael Chavis to Pittsburgh for left-handed pitcher Austin Davis. The Michael Chavis era is over. Great kid. Wasn't going to work out. Joe, your boys are helping us out. I'm going to look them up. Do you know anything about Austin Davis, a left-handed pitcher?
No.
It's all trickling in right now.
Austin Davis, we'll see how that is, but it's like I don't know how good he is, how bad he is. It's like so you consider my team is helping us out.
Do you want to rethink your fourth place finish? You want to do a retake on that?
Oh, why? Because he's basically the year-to-date 10 appearances, 9.2 innings, 6 hits, 5 bases on balls, 11 Ks, a 1.14 whip, a 5.59 ERA. That is your line on Austin Davis, who was just recalled by the Pirates on July 9th.
And you know what? I like Chavis a lot. I've had a chance to meet him. Seems like a genuine guy. He loves the kids up in Worcester. I just think he never had a place on this team. Go to Pittsburgh. Go to a building organization. Maybe you can help there, much like a Freddie Sanchez did back in the early 2000s from the Red Sox. Go there. Get your feet wet. Establish a fan base and work on your swing and your high heater. Michael Chavis, good luck to him. Great. Nice fella. Really nice fella. Maybe he can re-energize a team with a lot of talent, Joe, a lot of young talent. Maybe he can be looked at as a cornerstone. You know what I'm saying? Coming from an organization here as a piece that maybe they can build on. So,
Austin Davis is 28 years old, been in the big leagues 1 year, throws left. So left-handed pitcher.
They're adding depth. Yeah.
Look, maybe he's trying to stay in the pennant race and add depth at the same time. Because you realize, look, our farm system was depleted to the point of we had no pieces to give. We really don't. If he give the pieces,
no,
he would have firmly believe that we were entrenched in being in the World Series with no – and maybe Heinz Bloom feels that we're not World Series contenders. Maybe he thinks we're pretenders, and, you know, he just thinks that he's building on the team. I get where you're going from with your point, but he may be just trying to build and get there and see where he can go with this team because we're not – look, to me, we're not that bad of a team. We're good. It's just that smoke and mirrors right now. We're like 0-4. We're smoke and mirrors. We're coming back too much. I don't like the idea that we're coming back because now you're getting down to the pennant race and now teams stop playing it. Now the urgency shows up on these teams, the AK, the Yankees, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bays of the world. The urgency shows, and even teams we're playing of the Oakland A's of the world, the freaking Houston's of the world, Cleveland's of the world, the urgency of getting to a wild card is there. So every game means something down. Look, I'm just happy that every game means something down the wire this year anyway, because we didn't expect it. But I love the fact that every game means something. And just because I said they would finish in fourth place doesn't mean they'd, like, fourth place by a mile. I think this is going to be a logjam sitting at the top of it. I think the AL East is going to end up with a logjam where four games separates the first and fourth place teams.
Yeah. The good thing is, if you're the Red Sox, and I'm sure Cora will address the team, that now, if you're Cora, you're going to say, okay, guys, this is the team we have. Let's keep going what we're doing. Keep going at it. Nobody has to look in the back, you know, worried about their locker. If they're going to be traded, they didn't look like they were going to trade anyone off the roster, Michael Chavis notwithstanding. But at least now you settle in because this is the team we have. So let's keep going. Maybe we get Sale coming back. Let's just keep playing our game to game. Now the focus, you know what the focus right now is? Alex Cora will drive this home. Tampa Bay, you got to win. They got to win two out of these three games to now get back on track, establish the momentum. And if they're a contender, then they're going to come right out of the gates and show it. And it all starts tonight at 7:10 p.m. in that freaking horrible stadium known as the Chop in Tampa. So get it going. Get it done. They've had good success against the Rays this year. Keep it going. And just win the games in your division. That's it. Because right now they're, 7-4 on this 17-game stretch, I think. Or I can't remember. I have to look up the schedule. But keep it going. Keep winning. And just go from there. That's it.
Just remember how many guys are actually hurt right now in that lineup. How many guys are actually injured? And when are they coming back? And a lot of them are scheduled to be back in the first and second week of August. I mean, I'll give you the names. Devers has got light, tight quads. Sawama, whatever. So the pitcher, Danny Santana, Christian Arroyo, Marwin Gonzalez, Andrees, Chris Sale, Ryan Brazier, which is like supposing he might be close to coming back. So just that list alone of Arroyo and Gonzalez are the two key ones. Gonzalez was expected to return in the first week of August. Arroyo was late July, so he may be back sooner. The right hamstring, so you never know with hammies. They're both, you know, hammies for Gonzalez, and Arroyo is hammy. So it's like you never know. But if we get those two guys back, those are two, I wouldn't say they, but they're pieces to the puzzle that we need.
Right.
Nobody is solid on this team like a superstar, but without the pieces of the puzzle, we're dependent on guys we weren't expecting to depend on earlier.
Right. So I think right now they're 9-4 on this 17-game stretch. I'm looking at that Toronto game. No, they are 8-5 on the 17-game stretch. So you win one more game, you go guaranteed a winning record in these 17 important games. One was postponed. Not made up, against the division, and that's what you needed to do. Now, going into the stretch, I said win 9 out of 17 against the division, and you feast on the other teams that are weaker than you. So you win 2 games in the series, you win 10 out of the 17, and I'll take that any day. So focus on what's at hand. With Tampa tonight, Martin Perez, Nathan Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta in that order. And then they go to a tough Detroit. Then they go to Detroit, a pesky, much better playing Detroit Tigers. And then they're at Toronto before, and then back versus Tampa. So we're going to, again, start it off tonight. But by the mid-August, we're going to see what this team is and where they're going to be. And every week is a litmus test. Every game is that much more important now. So focus on what they finish.
I agree definitely that these next 3 games against Tampa Bay are key, very, very key for this team. And like, look, if you had said we'd gone 8-5 up against the competition we had, the way we limped into the All-Star game, I would take that 8-5 because we limped. I mean, seriously, limped into that All-Star game, losing 3 series in a row by taking the first game and losing the last two. So I'm happy at least that we get a winning record right now, but we need to. I'd love to take 3, but 2 out of 3 at the minimal is what we need.
No, right. I always say it's tough to sweep teams you do once in a while. I don't think either. I'd be shocked if they swept Tampa Bay early on. Matter of fact, it was right after the debacle of Baltimore when everyone was ripping them, telling them to get the hell out of town, take the franchise and move elsewhere, to relocate, to blow up Bob Irsay. And, you know, basically pack up a Mayflower van and drive the team out of town in the middle of the night. People were actually saying that. They came out and beat Tampa the next day. So they've had success against them, and they need to continue that. But, yeah, that's what it's about. Again, it's game by game. I'm looking at some of the stats here. Anyway. Wow. There you have it. Nothing new on the tracker, the deadline tracker. So we're going to forego the game of baseball now and kind of talk about a little incident up in Patriots camp yesterday, and it was being reported about. Joe, I know you heard this as well. And we get so caught up in these quarterbacks in shorts and a helmet, completion percentage. I never got mixed up in that. I never said, wow, Mac Jones was 11 of 17 or Brian Hoyer was 12 of 14 in a practice. I just don't get too much caught up in that. But one thing struck us funny is that Matt Jones had a little emotional meltdown off the field. Your thoughts on that?
He had an emotional meltdown. It's like, it's an emotional time, and it's like I feel that it wasn't – how much of a meltdown was it? Was he goaded into it? Was the media have anything to do with it? And it just – to me, it's like you see all this because people, the accessibility of these plays is more than ever has been before. And 10, 15 years ago, you probably wouldn't have seen it because it would have happened behind us. Great. I like the idea of him having a meltdown because that just shows he's a fiery SOB who knows that for a fight of his life to try to get a roster spot and try to get a quarterback position and win a quarterback position when he knows that the coach's favorite son is Cam.
I agree. And, you know, far be it, because all I kept thinking about was, okay, so he had an emotional meltdown. If Tom Brady did that, we'd be saying, well, that's his competitive nature. That's because he wants to win. Nothing but a winner. It's in his DNA. He doesn't want to lose. He hates to lose. He's in practice. He wants to win every practice. Yada, yada, yada. When this guy, Mac Jones, comes in, you're like, wait a minute. Oh, maybe he's not prepared mentally for the vigors of the NFL. Maybe he can't handle adversity. It's amazing how you can jump on someone so quick. And I like you. I like the emotion. I like it because that's what Tom Brady did here for 20 years, and it was never criticized. It was a testament to his character on how good he was. So that's really, really good. Really, really good stuff there. So we'll see. Unfortunately, Stidham's still on the PUP list, so it looks like Cam Newton will break camp with that team. And let the games begin, my friend.
Stidham's stuck on the PUP list. The longer he stays on that PUP list, the longer he has a chance of being cut and not going anywhere with this team. And I hope it changes. I don't want to see him on the PUP list any longer than a week. But that's going to change quickly, or you might have seen the end of Jared Stidham on the Patriots.
Yeah. And, of course, in my opinion, that would be a case of if he ever left there, never really finding out what kind of quarterback he would have been. Because I still don't think, I know what the organization might think, we never got him to see good competition at a good time. If anything, it was mop-up duty, and it was all, that's all you can base it on. And to me, I don't care what the organization says. They, to my opinion, I don't even think they know. And they're going to lie through their teeth. But they don't know, as a man, no matter what they say, of how good or just what they had in Jared Stidham, especially if he breaks camp and he's not on the roster. Just my opinion.
Oh, look, I agree. And it's like you got to know what you have in him. But just look, just an observation is the first year Stidham played in the mop-up duty in the third and fourth quarters in the preseason games. He always had that one interception that should have been a pick six that the defensive guy dropped. And then he came back and looked
for
here. And then
update.
He
rolled
on fire. So, you know, was he as good or as bad? I don't know. It's like, but I would have liked to find out, and I hope we do get to find out, but right now I don't think we will.
Just a little update before we go on Indianapolis. Carson Wentz, on the depth chart with the Indianapolis Colts, has apparently suffered a foot injury. He's being examined by a foot specialist, and there are rumors there that he may need surgery. So Carson Wentz, one of those guys, may have just snake bitten with the injury bug. We'll keep you posted on that. E2G.Sports, and as you move along. So look for Jacob Eason, get a lot of the first team reps there. Joe, twice is a pleasure, man. Third time's a charm. We won't do that this week, but we'll talk over the weekend. Thanks for your time today, buddy. Always a pleasure talking some of the grand game of hardball with you. So you be well. We'll talk real soon, buddy.
Oh, we'll talk soon, and it was great. I love it. Second day in the week. It's like it's fine. We made the best of what we had. We made the best of the situation. And, Davis, we'll catch up to you later another time.
You bet. And thanks, Joe. And all the best to everyone. It's been twice a pleasure. But every Wednesday, about 1 o'clock, Joe and I will be on a hump day, regularly scheduled podcast on blogtalkradio.com. For Joe Foran, I'm Johnny Sunchips. And each and every one of you guys, I know if you listen to us live, we greatly appreciate it. We're getting some feedback. Greatly appreciate that as well. If you listen to us via tape, we love that as well. So keep the cards and letters coming, be it good or bad. So everyone, take care, stay well, be safe, enjoy your sports weekend. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right.